Welcome to another...
The official podcast of The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
The Leaky Cauldron.
Do you hear that, Ern? The Leaky Cauldron.
Just go! You're wasting time!
Welcome to Pottercast, your number one audio source for Harry Potter news, theories, discussion, as well as info straight from the makers of the books and films themselves, like me, Matt Lewis. I play Neville Longbottom in the Harry Potter films, and I'm very happy to be here helping introduce your hosts, the Pottercast trio, Melissa, John, and Sue.
With less than 77 days before Book 7 comes out, and as the seventh month dies in 2007, this is Pottercast 88.
Oh, 88.
Welcome. I know you thought I was going to say 77, didn't you?
That's hilarious.
Curiouser and curiouser. Welcome to Pottercast 88. I'm Melissa. I'm here with John and Sue. We're ready for another great show full of fun announcements, actually, this time around. All right, so quick. Phoenix Rising is coming. We can't wait. We're doing a live Pottercast thing after the opening dinner at the convention in New Orleans on May 17th. We can't wait to meet you there. We're going to have some great Wizard Rock during the show and lots of fun stuff. So, of course, before we do anything else, we have to hear from our lovely friends at The Borders.
It won't be long before the much-anticipated release of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Do you have your mind made up about where Severus Snape's loyalties lie? Do you think he'll betray Harry and his friends, or will he help them triumph over he who must not be named? Find out more about this complex character in the hot new book, The Great Snape Debate, available only at Borders. Remember to reserve Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows at Borders to save 40%.
Well, we have a couple of little announcements. Obviously, we're doing the Leaky Muggit Prophecy on August 3rd. We can't wait. It's in Canada. We're going to be wearing our pajamas, and it's
buy your PJs. House color pajamas, everybody. We'll have a PJ contest.
PJ contest.
Oh, something else is happening in Prophecy? Just saying.
Please remember common rules for wearing clothes in public places, though. Some of you sexy pajamas should not be worn to this.
If they're Hogwarts, you sexy pajamas.
Gone.
What?
John thinks the sexy pajamas should be allowed. I mean, hey, look.
Absolutely.
If you're covered up, that's, hey, whatever. But I'm a little bit afraid of this pajama party, to be honest. Anyway, don't forget that you can take part two of the Deathly Hallows predictions quiz, which hopefully one day in the future will be bug-free. We're working on it, guys, and when there's 100,000 of you getting it at once, that's when things tend to go buggy. So, leakynews.com/book7exam, right?
What?
Book 7 exam.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Any other announcements?
Nope.
Is that it? Could that be our announcements slate this week?
Well, we'll have more at the end where people will actually remember it.
Well, no, there is. We have one big announcement, but we're going to save it until after Sue's news.
Oh, okay. Hello, everyone. Topping our news this week is word from Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix director David Yates that he will indeed return as director of the 6th Harry Potter film. While this has not yet been officially confirmed by Warner Brothers, we have seen two recent interviews where Mr. Yates says this, the most recent one appearing in the LA Times when he said, quote, I know Alfonso and Mike, when they came out, they were kind of shredded, but I've come out feeling invigorated, and I don't think I'm quite done with this world yet. These can be great films about childhood. The next one's full of sexual politics, and the kids are getting better as actors, and I want to push them even more. This one's quite lyrical and intense. The next one is more fun. End quote. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince is scheduled to begin principal filming later this summer with a release date of November 2008. In that same feature with the LA Times, we also heard from actors Dan Radcliffe, Emma Watson, and producer David Heyman on the film, where Dan Radcliffe says of the DA, quote, we're the French Resistance, and Voldemort and the Death Eaters are the Nazis, obviously in a magical context, end quote. You can find the link to read this entire interview via our website. We've also seen a whole slew of new photos, stickers, and posters surface online this past week. TLC has high-res character posters released by Warner Brothers for you to enjoy now, as well as a lovely high-res photo of the poster and box cover to the Order of the Phoenix video game. Speaking of the video game, TLC had the opportunity to visit again with the makers of the game in England, and you can now read a new report to the set of EA, where we learn new things about the game, such as fans will finally hear the lovely Hedwig's theme music in the game, that over 85 locations in Hogwarts have been created from the movie blueprints to be used in this game, and there are 60 missions for gamers to complete. Sounds great. The Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix video game is due to be released on June 25th. We also learned that final touches are being made on the movie, which is due to be released on July 13th, as one of the special effects companies working on the movie has updated their website with the news that they are making Fox Creature and that there will be over 100 centaurs. Finally, Arthur Levine, editor of the U.S. Harry Potter novels, appeared on the CBS Early Morning Show, as Scholastic has now released the second of the questions, and there soon there will be 7 campaign, asking, is Snape good or evil? And you can see videos of this appearance, as well as a collection of all the new ads, stickers, and much more for the release of the last Harry Potter book in our galleries. Well, for your daily dose of all things Harry Potter, you can find it at leakynews.com, which is updated continually. Guys.
Okay, and now we have a very big announcement. Can we do a drum roll? We've been teasing this for a few weeks, and we've been working on it for a few months, but we're very, very happy to announce right now that PotterCast is going on a big tour this summer.
Tour!
We're going on tour, and not only are we going on tour, there's a twist. We are playing 3 huge live dates with Harry and the Potters.
Harry and the Potters!
And not only that, and those are at libraries, not only that, but for all of our June dates, which you can get on PotterCast.com shortly after the release of this podcast, or maybe even before it, it's probably been on Leaky by now, I don't know, we will be in the same city as Harry and the Potters, so if there's like a podcast at 4 and their show is at 7, we're basically going to say to you guys, great, we've had a lot of fun at this podcast, now let's all go to the show and dance. So, basically, we're going to be rocking for 2 whole weeks in June, doing podcasts in the Midwest in July, and yeah.
Rocking.
It'll be crazy!
It's going to be, this came out of, literally, remember when I was on tour with Harry and the Potters in March?
Mm-hmm.
No.
We basically, thanks, John, we basically had so much fun together that we sat there at the end of the show going, we should do more stuff together, and then said, what about some stuff at libraries? I said, okay, I'll plan a tour. And here we are a few months later, about to spend 2 whole weeks with these guys and with all of you.
What? I can't wait to make out with them.
No.
I know, John.
No.
What? What?
Oh, it's going to be so much fun. I mean, rock music and great talk about Potter. Can it get any better than that? Reading and
rocking. Seriously, what is better? Come to talk, stay to rock.
It's true.
And have, you know, every show, the backstage, I hope everybody, all these venues know what we require in our green rooms. numerous hot dogs and burritos, I believe.
Chipotle?
And Cherry Coke Zero. Cherry Coke Zero is delicious.
Ew. There's no backstage.
There's no green room?
No, John, I'm sorry to disappoint you.
I don't play anywhere without a decent green room.
There's called the party room, and it's out front with all the fans.
Woohoo! It's going to be great.
I don't like fans.
So, seriously, this is what we're doing. We're going out, and we're starting this in New Mexico.
That's a crazy place to start.
I know, we're going to be...
beautiful. I love it out there. It's beautiful. Y'all been there?
I can't wait to sample all the Chipotles in New Mexico.
Ew.
Have you guys
John,
ever
when you're
there
in New Mexico, we're going to get you some real burritos.
Thank you, Melissa. I was going to say, there's better food out there. Nothing against that restaurant.
Dude, watch
yourself.
Saying,
there's a lot better food.
Seriously, guys, our email address for this tour is tour@potterkast.com. From now until we're out there, we want to hear ideas on things that we should do in all these cities. You can get our dates, by the way, at our MySpace, which is myspace.com/potterkast, or on Leaky, or on there's links everywhere. So. So we're starting in New Mexico. We're doing a big show at the Albuquerque, or sponsored by the Albuquerque Public Library with Harry and the Potters on the 19th of June.
What?
It's so much fun. I mean, honestly, what's better? We'll have a big fun podcast and then we'll all dance together for hours.
I can't wait.
Better.
I'm going to go up in my Slytherin school robes while they're up there in their Gryffindor costumes.
No.
And I'm going to totally be able to, like, crash the show. I want to be like, Gryffindor suck. Gryffindor suck.
They're way ahead of you on that, man. They tour with Draco and the Malfoys. They're way ahead of you.
Oh, they're not ahead of anything.
Done that.
Gotta watch themselves. Slytherin prankery is the worst.
Okay, anyway. So, then we're working our way over to California. We're doing like 4 shows in California because there's a huge amount of podcast listeners in California. When we did that survey a long time ago. There's something like 20% of you all live in California,
wow,
which is amazing to us. So we can't wait to see you out there. Then we're going to take a break to cover all the movies premieres, the one in England, which we haven't officially announced yet, but I would put bets that it's going to be a Leaky Mug. Also, the one in L.A. will most likely also be a Leaky Mug. We've always wanted to do this. We've always wanted to go and meet as many of you as possible. And what better summer than this one to meet, to just party until July 20th with all of you, going, meeting as many of you as possible, having fun, talking theories. It's going to be amazing. But I always thought that it was maybe too involved, right? Then I went on tour with Harry and the Bombers. And I saw what it is, which is basically, you get up, you drive, you go to the next place, and you do your thing, and then you move on. It just wasn't as complicated as I thought it was going to be. So
you hear that, Harry and the Potters? Anybody could do that.
No.
Don't you?
Not anybody can do it. The energy these guys bring to it is unbelievable. They basically said, why don't you get a car? Just do it. And I said, well,
awesome. After our first live podcast, we're all invited to that rental car and to decorate it for us.
Yeah, no.
And podcast decorations with spray paint and silly putty and crazy glue.
You're also all then invited when I bring the car back and pay the damages.
Damages. I'll be like, thank you for decorating this. This looks so much cooler
Pottermobile.
Now. We'll be able to rent it.
Oh, Pottermobile
all
will
over
be
the
awesome,
place.
Man. It'll be cool.
I know.
But I can't even tell you content you guys are going to get out of this. First of all the shows will be taped and broadcast. So most of them will be on the main podcast feed. We'll set up a second feed of some of the other shows because it's just too many hours to throw at our big audience. So you can get all that information at podcast.com. We're going to be blogging from the road, video blogging from the road. We're going to be giving you a ton of pictures. We'll be talking. I mean, this is just going to be covered to death. So what are you most looking forward to about the tour?
Well, you know how I am. I am a Hufflepuff, and I am excited about meeting people. I'm most excited.
You're a Hufflepuff?
But I love the West, the Southwest. It's beautiful, and I there's some of the most beautiful country in the world, in the United States, in my opinion, is in, like, Santa Fe and just that whole area out there is just fabulous. I can't wait to see it. It's the Grand Canyon, the whole fabulous.
Oh, we're going to see the Grand Canyon, aren't we?
I can't wait.
I've never seen any part of that country. The only part of that country I've ever seen was Tempe, Arizona, when the Ohio State Buckeyes defeated that team that shall not speak its name, the national championship 2002, was it? Yeah, 2002. Oh, that was so fun.
We have another little live show announcement. Not little at all, actually. What am I saying? Little. We're going to be on June 9th at the Chicago Tribune Printers Row Book Fair. We've been invited to go out there and perform and do a podcast at this, something like 85,000 people come to this thing. Probably it'll be a smaller podcast. We'll be under a tent or something because it'll be hot, but probably a couple of hundred people, and it's going to be amazing. We're so excited.
We're going to cram all 85 grand people in there. We're going to cram them all into that podcast.
All into that podcast. All into that. We're going to have a great time with you out there. Then our next live show is with Harry and the Potters in Albuquerque. Then we're hitting Tucson, Phoenix, Las Vegas, Thousand Oaks, California, San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco. Then we go to London. Then we go to Eureka, California. Eureka. Then we go to Eugene, Oregon. Then L.A. premiere stuff. And then we're taking a break because we're going to die.
Yeah.
And then we're starting again in New York on July 13th, the day that the movie's out, because we know that you will all have seen it the night before or that afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 7 o'clock in New York at a Borders, we'll have a big podcast. And then Sue and I and, John, you're coming now too, right? To that.
Presumably. Yeah.
We'll be traveling west and west and west until July 18th. We'll be in Wichita. Where will be July 20th? We don't 100% know yet, so hang on. I know you guys have been asking. Just hang on, and we promise that it'll be good.
Everybody's going to cram into Joe's basement. She's going to get out her little karaoke system and talk about the book. It's going to be sweet. Bring your own sleeping bags. It's a huge basement, so it's all good.
So you think Joe's going to bring into a course of Save Jenny? Do you think that'd be just rocking? That'd be awesome.
Joe. Yes.
You know what I heard is
Joe was a total Wizard Rock fan girl.
They've created a Leaky Cauldron theme song.
No,
for Brad from the Mouse Boy Pass, and they're going to record it. I'm telling you, the kind of fun that I had with these guys out there made planning this tour completely, all the work planning the tour completely justified. We're going to have such an amazing time. I can't wait. I can't wait to dance with all of you.
Dance?
You would really like to dance.
She does.
She's dancing.
She does. She dances good.
I really dislike the dance.
You must get over that to hang with Harry and the Potters.
No.
There's nothing about not dancing that's cool there.
What? Jumping up and down and bopping her head around like one of the Peanuts gang. That kind of dancing I can do.
Like one of the Peanuts gang?
Yeah.
Like Linus? You like Linus?
Exactly.
Bopping around during the program?
If you want me to bounce and stick my nose up into the air, I can probably manage that.
Oh.
But dancing, like, you know, like what they do on that dancing show, dancing with the cars or the stars.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
That's nothing I can do.
Oh my God.
And hey, we have another special guest coming with us that some of you know very well is Bree from YouTube fame.
Oh, yeah.
John,
hello, that girl.
Friend Bree.
I fancy the trio. I Fancy the Trio is her YouTube name. A lot of you know who she is.
She'll be hanging out with us for most of the tour, so we're excited about
that. Total doll face. Yep. Shooting lots of video for us, doing all kinds of fun stuff.
Oh, it's going to be great. I mean, we're going to be talking about this nonstop until it happens. So, unless you guys have anything you want to add.
It's going to be rockin' fabulous. Pottercad-tabulous. It's going to be great. I love it.
Potter
we'll
what?
Pottercad-tabulous? I don't know. I don't know what I was trying to say, but I'm just so excited. World.
Oh, I love you, Sue. We're going I can't even express how much fun it's going to be driving across the country with you guys. Talk about the blog content that's going to come out of that.
I can't wait for the part where 5 minutes in New York in the car with Melissa makes me nauseous, and driving 8 hours with Melissa will probably turn colors.
No,
I drive a lot different on desert roads than New York City.
Because people in New York City drive like they are insane, and she has to do that to stay alive. But when you're out in the West, you can drive normal, and it'll be fine.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Be fine, baby.
Melissa's normal driving will be exciting as well. Send your Dramamine to John at the Leaky Cauldron P.O.
Well,
Box.
I'm excited because we'll get to stay with some cool friends, too.
Yeah,
some friends in L.A. and stuff, and otherwise you don't really know where we're staying.
It's fun to mooch off friends. It's fun to mooch off friends.
It
if you
is.
Have a really big house at any
bring
of these tour cities and you want to open your house to the leaky people,
hey, if you have
give
a,
us an email at tour@podcast.com.
Seriously, if you have room for us and even the Harry and the Potter's boys, let us know. Because we're always looking for someplace.
If you're a podcast listener and your parents are really rich and never home and have a huge house and you want to rebel against them and have a big party and have leaky people over, email us at tour@podcast.com.
Tour@podcast.com.
We have news about a director, don't we, boys and girls? Maybe. Probably.
Well,
Alfonso.
Warner Brothers hasn't confirmed it, but Warner Brothers always is the last person to confirm it.
Yeah.
David Yates said publicly that he will be directing Half-Blood Prince. This has been a very strong rumor for some time, and we don't really call things strong rumors around here unless they're pretty much locks.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you know what's so interesting about this is that nobody's seen his work? I mean, he has not directed a full-length feature film, unlike Christopher Columbus, who had a long, successful track record.
Right.
He's directed some television and this movie, and without even seeing the finished product, they're signing him for 6. That's encouraging.
I'm sure they've seen pretty much the finished product.
Yeah. But still.
But I mean, every report we've heard from the actors just rave about him. So he must have established a really good rapport. I mean, not just with the WB people doing the job, but just with the cast, too.
Yeah.
To make it, you know?
You know what? I'm just excited to see the movie now because of all these awesome posters that have came out.
We haven't seen not one, not
totally.
Two, but like a whole ton of them. Fabulous. But
I know.
Well,
I know.
John's excited about a certain poster. I think we should all.
America's Next Top Model here.
Look, we've talked about it to death on Leaky. I don't want to.
I'm excited now. I'm excited. I've embraced it.
We really hemmed and hawed over putting that up because what we're talking about, if you haven't seen it, there's an editorial on Leaky about what the photoshopping they've done and where they've done it. And a lot of it has to do with Hermione's, bosom. And it's, because these kids are still kids, and we hate every time people bring attention to that area or overly focus on their bodies or cause them more scrutiny in the media than they already have. Yeah. And we had to weigh that very seriously against the cost of staying quiet when we notice that, you know, somebody, some IMAX artist, we're sure this doesn't go up to the top and Warner Brothers, whatever, somebody is taking liberties with their figure and the images that it sends young girls who look up to Hermione as an ideal, you know?
Yeah.
And it's to me especially, and I know to many girls and probably to Sue as well, and it's just a very, very personal topic because we all grew up with these images and we know what they can do to young girls, and to see it done to our Hermione, when they've done plenty of things to Hermione in the film that have not been represented in the books, but to go this far, it was just over the line. So, you know, that's
Hermione
it.
Alone.
And I'm sorry, that is not Ginny on that poster. I don't care what you say, that is not Bonnie Wright. It is just, I don't know who that is.
You know,
did you see that picture?
I almost thought it was the girl, I know you laugh because I always talk about Hufflepuff, but the girl that plays, like, Charlotte, I don't have to say her name.
Hannah Abbott?
I could have sworn they got it mixed up. They had the wrong actress in there. I really do.
I mean, I don't, we need a picture of Bonnie with her face in that thing, because I just don't think it's her.
I think you're right.
It's the weirdest thing.
It is.
It's the actress who played Lily in the first film.
You think? It's Charlotte Somerville, whatever her name is?
What if it's young
confirmed.
Lily?
You think? Oh.
No, it's not young Lily. It's not young Lily. It's supposed to be Ginny. It's clearly supposed to be Ginny.
But it didn't look like Bonnie Wright.
Anyway, we put that up when we hate bringing more attention. I mean, poor Emma Watson. She gets enough attention as it is. But we felt it was really important to point out, because if we as the fans who love these books so dearly don't point it out, who will, you know?
Well, on another positive note, though, we did see some very other nice photos or posters released. And it's kind of interesting because they're coming out with these new, like, taglines, which is kind of neat, like propping up that, you know, like, the rebellion will, you know, begin and dissent will not be tolerated with Umbridge, you know? And I just thought it was kind of cool how they're doing these like that. I kind of like that.
Well, then he had Sirius's posters, like the final battle.
Yeah. I know.
Like, there you go, way to blow it, everybody.
Warner Brothers is like, don't ever say it. Don't ever
know,
say anything that happens at the end
like,
of the
well,
film,
it's,
ever.
You know,
and yet, there they
it's
are.
The first big, it's the first big group battle ever in a Harry Potter movie, so let's call it the final battle for this character. That won't be obvious.
Because well,
why wouldn't the first battle be the final battle?
Mm-hmm.
That makes perfect sense.
It really says make a final stand.
Make a final stand or whatever. Final is the word.
Give it away? I mean, I just thought that was like, I don't know.
They might as well have put a tear in Sirius's eye. They might as well have made him like crying or something, or, you know, like put an X in his eyes, because it's like final stand.
Actually, he looked kind of like hip, like he was like a rapper move he's got going on there. Did you see his toes, you know?
I know, like, how are you possibly aiming your wand right now?
I don't know.
Who do you think he is? Strumming it like a banjo.
Although, you know, the way that her Bellatrix, there's a post of Helena Bonham Carter there. And her hair, I don't know if that's supposed to be like her hair flinging out, or it's her arm, but it makes it look like she's got like a feather bow in her hair. It's just kind of a weird pose.
Bellatrix loves feather bows. It's written in chapter 7 on
Did she really?
Order of the Phoenix.
A little softer side to her.
when she was breaking out of Azkaban, she went to try to get her belongings, and, you know, they had her wand and some shoes and her feather boa. It was very important to her.
What else do we need to
Oh, can we just say this one thing? One thing, this is kind of cool, and it's still about the movies, but the people that did the effects, and there's this one company, Framestore, out of Australia.
Oh, Framestore,
They're brilliant.
Them.
They do excellent work. And they give an update, and they send out these emails, and I got one, and it said that they have over 100 centaurs in Order of the Phoenix.
That's insane.
Which does not mean copy-paste.
No. I know.
It'd be really funny, but like 100 frenzies running around, all with the same voices, the same everything. That'd be hilarious.
Huh.
Or if they had like 100 frenzies and they're all wearing different colored t-shirts. That'd be perfect. That'd be a way to save some money.
Oh.
Like,
this is like a triumph, glorious moment for me. I love you, Joe Rowling, and because every month, as you know, on jkrowling.com.
Oh, no, here we go.
I know. But this is so, I about squeeze my pants. I go for the performance. Yes, I did.
I've never heard that before.
I did. I just don't know how they phrase it any other way. But this was a triumphant moment for my house, ladies and gentlemen, that the new Wizard of the Month is none other than Helga Hufflepuff. It was fabulous. Oh, there she is.
I'm a little disappointed
and
that
she
didn't.
Guess what, John?
Come.
She's the Rachel Ray of her times. It says that she's
is she really?
Cooking. Oh, no.
Does she make it meals in 30 minutes or less? I don't know. I was so disappointed that they didn't make her look more like you, Sue.
Oh, well, that's true.
After they made the lady who'd ran the Leaky Cauldron ring her for Melissa.
Well, I don't care. I was just happy with the mention
of
Hufflepuff.
I thought she looked a little like Sue.
Yeah. No.
I thought she looked a little like Sue.
Well,
I guess
the body shape the same, but, you know.
I'm still holding off for when they make Dollis Wizard of the Month.
Yeah, maybe that'll
they make
her
look like me. That'd be sweet.
You know what was exciting about
awesome.
This, though, is that it was a little new bit of canon that she was responsible for all the food and the festivities at Hogwarts. Just saying, you know.
And the booze.
Yeah.
And the booze.
That Hufflepuff is, in fact, the festive party house, I've been saying. I'm just saying.
Oh, my God.
It was so fun. I love you, Joes. If your people are hearing this, I love you.
Two straight weeks.
I know it's going to be great. Okay. I'll tie a little Hufflepuff banner to the back of the antenna, too, and that'll be fabulous unless it's just like 2 weeks.
Hufflepuff kind of party house.
By the time the book release comes around, after having spent like 6 weeks with Sue, I'm going to hear the word Hufflepuff, and I'm going to run
like
Wile E. Coyote.
The Hufflepuff, why am I finding at the parties at the Hufflepuff house, like, include, like, playing chutes and ladders and, like, Candyland and
well, maybe they were the ones that came up for because
puzzles.
It's food, Candyland, charms. You know, I'm just saying.
I love Candyland, actually.
You know, and just to my wild sense of canon thing, you know, here it is about food and feast at Hogwarts. Maybe she had something to do with saving the house elves because they worked in the kitchen. So maybe house elves are
maybe she enslaved the house elves.
No, she
elves.
Saved
that
them. Saved them
sense.
From persecution. Hufflepuff saved.
Wrong.
Right.
The house elves work for Hogwarts.
Okay, maybe we should.
The house elves work for Hogwarts for no pay, and if they were instituted there at the kitchens and Helga was in charge, Helga enslaved
no,
the house elves to work at
she
Hogwarts.
Save them and
it's
let them their inner cooking
fault.
Fabulousness shine through.
And they hate their lives. They hate their
they
lives.
They're happy at Hogwarts. They all want to go work at Hogwarts.
Guys, what's for real?
Okay, we're moving
no,
on.
No, they hate it there. And they curse Helga's name.
No.
And
all
they're,
this
and
is
they're
coming soon
quarters,
to a city but... near you guys. All this right here.
Where do the elves sleep? Do they have their own common room?
You can see this live.
Do the elves have their own
okay,
common room?
Okay, let's move, please.
Okay.
I really want to know. Where do they sleep?
But they have little, there's little tiny beds like the elves and the seven dwarves. They must have little tiny elf
are there,
beds.
I'm not here.
Are there charms? Are there charms in the girl elf part of the common room where the boys can't go up the stairs?
I don't
the,
know. That's a good
the stairs
question.
Will slide them down? Because they can apparate, so that wouldn't really bother them
exactly
very much.
Exactly right. I don't know. I don't know. Okay.
Pretty, I would love it if the elves had their own common room and their own passwords and everything.
That'd be rocking, wouldn't it?
Get, like, we just never knew about it, like this parallel house that was just for the elves. I would love that. Could you imagine if Joe wrote that?
That would be so cool. Maybe we'll find it out. Maybe someone does those underground secret passages. We don't know.
Do the elves have their own owls, do you think?
Well, I don't know.
They deliver their own messages?
I don't know.
Just totally.
Well, they can just... Meanwhile, Melissa has fallen asleep.
Thanks for the backtrack.
I'm contemplating my list of things to do today. Or, you know,
everybody's very interested in elf lore.
I saw them with my Guitar Hero on later. You know.
Elf lore.
Well, you guys do your thing. Don't mind me. I'm just.
All right. Okay. It's time for a fan interview.
Okay. Can
tune in after the fan interview for some canon.
Okay.
Hi folks, Owen here, aka Nimbus XL on Leaky Lounge. Just an observation and a question regarding the international trailer for Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. About 1 minute 30, just after we see the shot of Azkaban, we hear a very spooky voice saying, "The Dark Lord approaches." Now I've asked this question a couple of times on the lounge, and some people seem to think it's just Bellatrix Lestrange taunting Harry as to say Voldemort is coming. However, I believe this might be actually Sybil Trelawney delivering part of the line, the one with the power to vanquish the Dark Lord approaches. Glad to hear what you guys think this might be. Love the show. I listen to it every week. Thanks for your time.
Hey, Pottercast. This is Hermie Jane Granger from the Leaky Lounge, and I'd just like to say that my favorite trailer of all was the domestic one because it is just awesome, and it makes me want to wait for the movies and just see it even more and can't wait for July, everything. So, yep. Bye.
Hi guys, it's Future Weasley from The Lounge. I would definitely say that the international trailer was my favorite of all the trailers that have been released, and my favorite part of them, not only the action and all the suspense and the great lines that have been delivered, but my favorite part was probably when Ron said to Hermione, "Who are you and what have you done with Hermione Granger?" Of all the growing and the cast ensemble chemistry that's happened over the past years, my favorite has been the growth between Emma and Rupert and Dan. I think that they play off each other so well, and that's just another example of how great they are together and, you know, how well they understand the characters. I've loved the trailers, and I'm really looking that much more forward to seeing the movies now.
Hi everybody, this is Doris Herman, and today I have a very special guest with us who sent an interesting email to Leaky last week, and she really had an interesting story to tell, and I'm just going to let her tell it to you. This is Melinda Lydon, and Melinda, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. It's a beautiful day here in Texas. I got your email, and I just felt compelled to let you tell your story.
I originally wrote Leaky because I wrote a fan fiction. I wrote it shortly after Half-Blood Prince came out, and the fan fic is called The Seventh Horcrux, and it was just a combination of my guesses and what made it what I thought was a good story of Harry's seventh year. But somehow the story ended up being copied onto another site, and the title was changed, and it was listed as a leaked copy of Deathly Hallows. And when I first heard it, I thought it was a joke, but I keep getting more and more emails about people actually being tricked into thinking that this is a real leaked copy of Deathly Hallows. So I went to the websites where I have the fic posted on to try to get them to put up a disclaimer and say, you know, stop it. It's just a fic. It's not real, which the sites have done. Only the emails still keep coming and still keep coming. And then I got a link from a paper called World Voice Today, and the World Voice Today is a review of this story as if it is the Deathly Hallows. So then I said, all right, this is getting out of hand. I wrote Leaky Cauldron saying, can you just, you know, put this up there saying, if you see, you know, the chance to download a leaked copy, that's not what it is. It's a fic. So that's what I wanted to say.
And Melinda, you contacted Christopher Little's agency as well, didn't you?
I did. When this first started, I had talked to my Vader over at Phoenix Song, which is the site where I originally posted this story, and they gave me the name of someone over there to say, you know, that I'm not trying to pass this off or anything, to tell them and see what they had to say. So I talked to someone at there, and they were very kind, and they said they had also been getting a lot of emails about it, but that it was not JK's work, obviously, it's just mine, and that I should at least try to get people to say that it's not a real leaked copy. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, and I know that you've spoken to Jules at Christopher Little's agency, and of course we know that she actually works there, and I've got to commend you. You've gone above and beyond to make sure people know that this is not, that nobody's dishonoring J.K. Rowling on your end, that you're making sure people know that this is your work and not hers.
Yeah, no, it's mind-blowing the way this thing has kind of gotten out of control.
You've gotten some kind of nasty emails too, haven't you?
Yeah, a few people are angry thinking that I tried to trick them, but I didn't put this up there. It's a fic. It's just supposed to be, you know, read for fun. It's not real.
Yeah. Now, I am being on the Leaky Lounge as much as I am, I had received a link that somebody had placed in a file on the lounge or in a post on the lounge, and I went to it and I read it, and what I did is I put, and anybody can do this with anything, I copied a paragraph of it, and I put it in a search engine in Google, and I searched it, and it took me instantly to Fiction Alley, which is another place where your fan fiction has been posted for quite a while. So obviously this is not something that you've ever meant to be taken as Deathly Hallows. This is something that you wrote for yourself more than anything.
Right. It's fun. I got hooked into fan fiction around the time Order of the Phoenix came in, and it's fun. I like the response you get from writing something and having that instant feedback.
Now, another thing, I want to make clear that I've read every place that your fanfic is on, and you always say, not just once, but at the beginning of every chapter, this is my work. This is not J.K. Rowling's work. This is me having fun with her characters. You're very clear that you're not plagiarizing. Yeah. You're not trying to make this look like this is anybody's work but your own.
I'm playing in her sandbox.
Exactly. That's a good way to say it. I like that. Is it flattering to you that people are reading this and saying, oh, I think this is it?
Yeah, it's. I can't deny that. It's very flattering. It's mind-blowing that anyone could actually think that, but it's very flattering.
I would be, having read it and having read other leaks, you know, because it's not the only one. There are others out there where people are posting and saying, oh, I think this is it. And these people, without realizing it, are getting banned from websites. They're posting links to your work saying this is the book, and then they're being banned from websites. How does that make you feel?
I don't understand how they can think, first of all, that it is the real thing, but also don't spoil it. I don't want to be spoiled with the last thing. So even if you thought this was real, and again, I don't know how you think you can, but don't spoil it. It's too big. This is the last one. Don't wreck it for everybody.
Yeah, I think that's the sentiment that a true fan is going to have. It's don't ruin it for everybody. Don't try, you know, even if you get it, don't try to ruin it for everybody by posting it too soon. And because it does. It happens with me and Half-Blood Prince. It was ruined for me. And it takes away from that moment. That moment that you've been waiting for, it just kind of takes away from it.
Yeah, you want that shock. You know, even there's bound to be little shocks, you know, you didn't see that coming throughout the thing. So you want it just to get to experience as a whole, never mind the big ending.
Yeah. Now, what are some of the I know websites have contacted you saying that your work has been published there as the book. Mm-hmm. What are some of the websites that you've heard from?
Isohunt.com is the big one. And then I got another message today from Pirate something or other, where someone, an email from someone saying that they got it at, I can't remember the exact title, it's Pirate something.
Mm-hmm. And people are actually paying for it, aren't they? Not paying you. Let's be really
clear. No. Yeah, there's people have said that, like I saw on World Voice, there's an email or a reply or response from someone there saying, oh yeah, my friend paid for this. And it's like, well, who are you paying? And I don't know where that money's going.
That's amazing. It really is that people would go to that length.
Yeah.
I mean, basically they're stealing your work and making money off of it, saying it's somebody else's work that they've stolen.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. And I want to be really clear. Leaky has posted on their main site our policy. And if anybody does actually link to something that we think might be a spoiler, we report you to the authorities. We're not. We have way too much respect for the woman who is truly the inventor of Harry's magic, and we're not going to allow that to be out there before J.K. Rowling wants it to be out.
Exactly, it's her story, and it shouldn't be leaked before she's ready for it to be.
Yeah, and I can tell just from talking to you the time we've been discussing this today that this is really upsetting for you.
Yeah, well, it was just supposed to be fun, you know. It was just supposed to be I had thoroughly enjoyed doing it at the time, but now it's getting to be, it feels like it's not in my, I'm a control freak, and I don't like when things aren't in my control, and I don't feel like this is anymore at all.
Well, I have to say now, being anyone who reads fan fiction, this is a good fanfic. This is a lot of fun to read.
Oh, thank you.
And since we're going to, and I want to talk about just the fic as a fic for a second, because I know that we have a lot of people who love to read it, and they like to hear about really good fic. So this is a very good fan fiction, and I want to, again, be clear. It's fan fiction. It's not the book. We would never allow that. One thing I want to talk about, and this almost got me to the point where I wanted to throw something at my computer screen. You allowed Dolores Umbridge to be the minister for a short time. How could
you do that?
Oh, my gosh. I was so upset.
But that's the reaction that, I mean, I was writing a story. That the reaction that I got from you is what I was looking for. So it worked.
Yeah.
But, yes, no, I don't love Dolores.
Well, you actually got that you didn't, how your true feelings were about her from the, from what you wrote. But I realized, at first I was like, how could she be put in charge? You know, how could she do that? And I just wanted to throw things. I was so upset.
Yeah, the funnest part of that whole thing was those reactions, because as the reviews come through chapter by chapter, and that was exactly by far the majority I got, people were incensed and horrified. And, you know, some people were like, hey, that's a great twist. But most people, how could you do that? It was quite fun.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about your fic, but I don't want to completely ruin it for people who are now going to be like, run to go read it. It's called The Seventh Horcrux. In it, I love the name of some of the chapters, but I really loved the chapter Survivor, because the first thing I thought was, you know, the island and Survivor, the TV show. It immediately, like, popped into my mind. And that was really
I like
good
that show.
Chapter. That was a good chapter. I really liked Jenny. I've always liked Jenny, one of my favorite characters. Really liked her in this chapter. And I don't know why. I think that I saw a side to her that I think J.K. Rowling's Jenny has that you picked up on, sort of a compassion, caring, motherly, at the same time, just a neat matureness to her. I don't even know how to describe it without spoiling it. So
yeah, I like Jenny. I like her very much, and I think a lot of the fics I read just show the fiery, spunky, not that side, but also the side, you know, where she fights with Ron and she's very fiery. But then back in Order of the Phoenix, I remember that one scene in the library with the chocolate in the library scene, where she does have a compassionate side, and she does seem to be to know when Harry needs to be not pushed, but to have someone more be gentle. And I like that side of Ginny.
Yeah, it's not really a motherly quality, because that would be kind of sick considering the relationship. But it's a definite side of her that shows that there's so much compassion.
Compassion.
I see Molly coming through at that moment.
Yeah, well, she is Molly's daughter, so it would make sense that there's some of that there.
Yeah. Now, Draco and Harry sort of, no, they're not, they don't become friends in your fanfic, but they become colleagues, maybe.
Yeah, they tolerate each other. I think in the end, Draco's looking out for himself, so I think he's going to, even though he doesn't like Harry, they manage to work together to save themselves, to both save themselves. I had fun with Draco in this story. He's never been one of my favorites. You know, I never cared for him much reading through canon, but I have to admit, as I wrote this story, I ended up having a lot of fun with him. He sort of took over a few scenes.
Yeah, he's a very powerful individual, and he's more dynamic in your fan fiction than I've seen him in the books, and meaning that his dynamic is in his character changes a little bit, which is kind of a neat aspect to him that I hope to see in Joe's book, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'm really eager to see what happens with Draco. I wonder if he's the one that's going to survive. I really do. There was a definite change up there on that tower with him. I think a real growing up moment, so I'm really interested to see how it's going to play out in Deathly Hallows.
Yeah. Now, and I'm just gonna talk about this, and we're gonna talk about it in a mature way, not like we're little boys. Harry and Jenny do a little more than snogging.
Yes, they do.
As a matter of fact, so do Ron and Hermione.
Mm-hmm.
When you wrote that, did you set out thinking I'm gonna put this in there? Now, for those of you who go to read it, there's nothing in it that's graphic. You're not gonna read anything that you wouldn't read in like a Teen Beat or a Tiger Beat magazine, but you definitely get the knowledge that they've done more than just a couple of kisses. We'll leave it at that.
They're growing up. I went back and forth a lot as I was writing this story. You know, should I or shouldn't I let them go further? But for the audience that I was writing for, it was a fan fiction audience, and the majority of places where it's put is a shippy kind of site. So, yeah, Harry grows up a bit, and he's a 17-year-old boy, you know? But, yeah, I'm a little embarrassed, actually, now that this has gotten so big that I did that.
Magic wasn't the only thing on Harry's mind. We'll just put it that way. Actually, I like the way you wrote it because, like I said, I love Jenny as a character, and I like a lot of the way she's portrayed in fan fiction. But I really liked, and I'm just going to, I don't know how to say it without, but, and this isn't really spoiling anything. She wears a bikini that she hides from her family.
Yes.
And I love that. I just love it because you know what? Every 16-year-old girl in the world has done that. They've hidden the bikini from their mothers and from their brothers so that they could wear it around the guy that they like.
With mine, it was a black bathing suit when I was a kid. You know, I wasn't allowed. My mother would just, I don't know what she had with the black. No, you can have any bathing suit, but you can't have a black one. So, of course, as soon as you say that, that's what I wanted. As a kid. That was the first thing that I did when I had my own money. I bought myself a black, and I hid it from my mother. So I think it's a normal thing that a teenage girl would do.
Yeah, and I love that because it shows that little, you know, she's turning into a woman, and that woman wants her man to pay attention to her in more than just the philosophical kind of way.
Yep, she gets that bikini and wears it, and Harry approves.
Yeah, it served its purpose. Good. Okay, back to canon. From your fan fiction, which I'm going to, when our elves finished with the transcript, I'll put a link to it so that people can go read it. Because it's wonderful. I love reading it. And I like reading fan fiction. It's fun to see what other people do with Joe's characters. But
yeah, I like fan fiction too. So thank you. Yeah, and it is. It's just the fanfics. It's fun. What if, you know?
Yeah. And I like the playing in Joe's sandbox. I've never thought of it that way, but that's it. You're playing with her toys for a little while.
Yeah, they're her characters. I'm just borrowing them and playing with them. I'll put them back on the shelf when I'm done.
I'm going to ask you a couple questions about what you think is going to happen in the next book.
Okay.
Snape. Is he out for Harry, or is he out for the Dark Lord? What do you think?
I don't think he's a good guy. I do think he's a good guy. I don't think he's a nice guy, but I think that there's more than we know. I think in the end it'll turn out in canon that Snape is a good guy, that there's something more happening there, and he'll somehow help Harry in the end. What I'd prefer to see is for him to be really bad. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Ginny and Harry, are they going to get married and live happily ever after in Deathly Hallows?
I hope so. Well, I think it'll be in the epilogue. I like to think in the epilogue we'll have, you know, my greatest wish would be that prediction of Trelawney about him marrying, being the Minister of Magic and having 12 children would come true in the end. That's what I'd like to see for him.
Wow, can you imagine having 12 children?
No, and I think Ginny would probably not want quite that many either. But
can you imagine having 6 sets of Fred and George?
Oh, God. You got to give Molly credit for making it through.
Oh, yeah,
you
know, deserves mother.
I've got one child who's a bit of a mischief maker. Never mind doubling it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and just the food and the clothes and sending them all to college and, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to be a magician to get all that out. Okay. Is Harry going to live or die?
Live. Oh, he has to live. I won't even read a fanfic that goes any other way. No, I've nope, nope, nope. I'll be creature. Nope, nope, nope.
Snape, live or die?
I think he's going to die. I think, like I said, I think it's going to turn out he'll do something for the good guys to help Harry in the end. But I can't really see a way that, even if he is on the good side, that he can live, because he still killed Dumbledore.
Voldemort, live or die?
Die.
Die. A horrible,
yes,
painful
I'll be
death.
Done with you. Okay. The prophecy says Harry can finally live once he's gone, so I'd like to see him gone and Harry get a chance to just have a nice life.
Well, Linda, thanks for just setting it straight, letting us all know that, you know, if somebody's reading the 7th Horcruxes, that is not the Deathly Hallows book, and they should not look at it as such. I'm really glad that you wrote to us because I think it's great that you're out there trying to campaign to let people know that this is not your fault and you're not pushing this, but people are representing this as the book.
Well, thank you for listening to me and helping me get it out there. Like I said, I talked to Christopher Little, and that was the one thing that they said was that you should try and let people know it's not It's yours, not JK, so this is a way I thought I could do that.
Great. We appreciate you sending us the email and getting in touch with us. It's been fun talking to you.
It's been fun talking to you, too. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody. See you later.
Bye-bye.
And now it's time for Canon Conundrums. Listen in as our panel tries to figure out one specific issue from the Harry Potter canon.
Who could possibly figure that out?
And here we are with Canon Conundrums.
Conundrums.
Podcast 88. With some friends we have not heard from in a while, actually. And Sue and Melissa just went off to check on the cat. So let's talk to our friends Jason.
Hello.
Otherwise known as the Guru of Sloth.
Mm-hmm.
And our friend, Lady D, Miss Doris.
Lady D.
Hey, everybody.
It's been a while,
it
Doris.
It has been a while. I've been you know, busy. I had to move, and nobody came and helped me. So there you go.
Oh, terrible.
What the heck?
Terrible.
I know. Nobody. You guys should have come and helped me, but there you go.
Oh,
that's because I didn't figure out that apparition in time.
No.
I know. I'm still trying to pass my test. Yeah.
When you get it down, I'm going to be moving again in December, so, you know.
Oh, what the heck? A regular nomad.
Yeah,
we'll
work on that in New Orleans.
Yes. Well, we have had quite a bit of interesting canon conundrum-y related. That's not even a word, is it? Well, let's not make it a word.
It is.
Canon's
going right into the lexicon.
There you go.
Yes. Bits of information coming from some pretty official sources recently when we heard from the Scholastic folks. Was it Scholastic? Why is Scholastic talking about that?
Are you talking about the website with the little psh, psh, psh?
Yeah. Then
that's the Bloomsbury one, I think.
The Bloomsbury one. I know they're both releasing information about the book, little bits of teasers, mm-hmm. every so often. And a recent bit of information to come recently was about how the symbol on the spine of the UK cover is not just some arbitrary shape, and that it would be wise for Harry Potter fans to investigate that symbol. So we figured, who better to investigate that than the Canon Conundrums crew?
Yay!
Very few. Very few people, and we're not going to tell you who
That's
they
right.
are.
Yeah.
So we are the best for the job.
And
so,
those people probably don't have a podcast.
They do not have a podcast. Perfect. But anywho, so, for all of you who don't know what we're talking about, maybe you can take a moment to call up the cover art if you're looking up on your computer in the Leaky Galleries. You'll find it there. But it is a triangular symbol with a circle in the middle of it, touching each of the inner sides of the triangle, and a vertical line going from the top of the triangle down to the bottom.
Right. The point of the triangle is at the top. And then
yes. That is actually very important where that triangle is facing. But, Doris, I know you have an interesting bit of...
There's a thread on the lounge, and it's really funny because when I started this thread on the lounge, it was because I knew I'd seen this symbol before, and I just could not... And I was sitting here thinking, where... How, I mean, it was one of those little, like things that just drives you sort of insane. And I knew I'd seen it, and I it's weird. Some of it's because I do some painting, and I see things kind of in three dimensions, even when they're flat. I sort of tend to add dimensions to it. But in this thread, and I looked at it a little bit, I kept hoping by starting this thread that somebody would say, oh, here it is, bam, and they'd put it up there. I knew I'd seen it, and I drew it a couple times. I painted it. I built it. It was it was very bizarre. And then
it's like the flux capacitor.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I thought. And then I was looking through the galleries, thinking maybe I'll see a picture of it. And I found it. I found the picture that I
still can't. How did you find that? That's amazing. Because those galleries, I guess they're there's only like three or four pictures in there.
There are. Let me see. How many is that? 150,000 plus
million.
Pictures. Yeah. Thank you, Kimmy Blair. And.
Wow.
Yeah, the gallery gals are totally awesome. But anyway, I found the picture, and it's from a movie. Michael Gambon is looking into a case, and in that case, and it's one of those, like, if you blink, you miss it in the movie, but there's a triangle with a line going from the top to the bottom and a round circle, and there's a ball in it. And when he's looking at his sneakoscope kind of things, and he's looking into the case, and it's just there. And that is what I saw. It was when I first saw the symbol, that's what I pictured in my mind, and I couldn't remember where I'd seen it before, but I knew I'd seen it, and I knew it was brass.
It's like an inverted pendulum is what it looks like inside. It's like a three-dimensional, it's like a pyramid, basically, like you said, glass or something, square base, and then each of the sides goes up in a triangle. So like Doris was saying, if you look at it like straight on one of the faces, it would really resemble this picture we've got. You've got the triangle, and you've got a circle inside it, and then a line going up through it. It's uncanny. And Gambon's just sitting there kind of, he's got this slack-jawed look. He's like, you know, mesmerized by this thing.
Yeah. I'm so sore about this because I wish I would have known to look for this thing because we were right there on that set. And to be able to get up and close and personal with that thing.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny because it's one of those things that, you know, I don't know that if Joe said, hey, guys, put something like this. I mean, we know that she's done that in the movies before where she said, let's put this in there. This kind of needs to be there. I don't know that she did that, but it was just one of those little bitty things that the movies aren't canon, but it was, wow, that's huge. I mean, that's just like, it looks exactly like what this thing is. If you're looking at it, though, as an alchemy symbol, I mean, John, didn't you get an email from somebody?
I did get an email from the podcast fan who did not leave a name, but it looks like her screen name is Purple Sock 83.
Awesome. Great name.
And she, I believe, maybe he, spent a lot of time looking up the symbol and came up with a lot of different possibilities of what they could mean individually and together. And they point out that the triangle pointing down, however, can represent gold from mines, which is kind of interesting considering what the UK cover looks like. The triangle pointed up with the circle on the inside can mean many things. It can mean three in one, corral, stop, or I am a homosexual, which is rather interesting, though somehow they doubt that that last translation will be of any use. I'm just reading the email now. There's also a bisected triangle pointed up means fire, king, danger, or dangerous power, whereas a bisected triangle pointing down can mean woman.
So
the bisected circle could represent solar halo or lightning.
Okay.
And a bisected semicircle arched down means halo or ring around the moon. It's interesting.
Where are these sort of symbolic, does this email say, or maybe Doris knows?
Well, she said that all of these symbols came from many places. Some are Egyptian.
Right, so it's kind of a mishmash.
Some are Norse or Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. However, most are from alchemy.
In one form or another. Which, I mean, alchemy kind of contains a lot of traditions, right?
Yeah. Yeah, right. They sourced a website for everybody curious about doing this themselves. If you go to symbols.com, which seems relatively simple enough.
That's where I would go.
You can do your own investigative reporting about this symbol.
Okay.
The symbol, I know just from what I've read in alchemy, I know that the triangle also is sort of like the Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
And we think of that as being sort of like in the Bible.
Right.
You know, that whole, but you also kind of have the same connection with Harry, Dumbledore, and Fox.
Oh, and you're not thinking like Ron and Hermione and Harry?
No, sorry.
That's more of the trio.
No, I'm
I see
thinking,
what you mean though, Doris. That's interesting.
Yeah, because
especially
okay,
the Fox.
I get it.
Obviously be the spirit.
The spirit, yeah, because you have the symbolic father, who's not really the father, but sort of the god figure as in Dumbledore. And I think that John Granger was the first person who wrote this, or I saw this in print. Other people I've seen and heard it, but I saw this in print, one of his books. But Fox would be sort of the Holy Spirit, and Harry would be the Christ figure. And for those of you who are thinking, if he's the Christ figure, he's crucified, remember, 3 days later, he popped up.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
So, it's a fascinating symbol.
Yeah.
And Jason, you were talking about the circle in the middle earlier.
The one thing that I noticed and that I saw in my quick perusal of one of the threads in Unfogging Deathly Hallows was the reference to the sort of Masonic symbol, the eye inside the pyramid, which I think is probably, when I saw this, was probably what I kind of, like, my mind recognized something. I didn't have, like, this deep insight or this crazy, you know, memory of a 10-second clip from, you know, one of the Harry Potter movies. I recognized something that, you know, you probably see all the time on, like, a dollar bill or, you know, in other places, this sort of all-seeing eye. And, you know, I don't know if, you know, it makes you think of, like, all these sort of recent, like, conspiracy theories and books like Da Vinci Code and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
The Masons kind of always are turning up in these things, and you know, I don't really know much about them, so I don't know if there would be any, like, reasonable, you know, if they get their symbols from something more ancient, you know, that Joe might be drawing on, they're probably, do they have anything to do with alchemy, or do they?
Yeah, the Masonic that the Freemasons use is both Hebrew and Egyptian. And it's where it's derived from. So it is, to a large extent, derived from the same things alchemy comes from. I mean, a lot of literature is sort of based on an alchemy basis. Even you can even look at biblical symbols, and if you use the Bible just as a piece of literature, not as a religious document, and see some of the same same traits that you see in other pieces of literature.
Right. So, you know, that's, I guess the question, and I think based on, like, you know, seeing this symbol, not just on the spine, but, you know, on the website, and I don't know, was there an actual statement or something, John, that you were saying that, you know, they said?
Doris,
like,
do you know what it was? Do you remember?
Well, anyway.
I remember it coming out, but I don't remember who put it out. I want to say Scholastic, but it's not Scholastic's cover.
But somebody was saying, like, pay attention to this or something like that, or...
Yeah. Doris, yeah. Do you remember?
Mm-mm. I don't remember. I remember somebody getting an email where it says, hey, this is important, pay attention to it. But no, I don't remember. Uh-huh.
Now okay. I just feel dumb. Everybody's going to be correcting.
No, they're
well,
not.
Well, give them something to do.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but anyway, the point was, you know, like, I, the way I read these things a lot, I tend to see a symbol and think, okay, that's like something cool, like that the artist might have done, or it might be kind of, you know, represent like something kind of vague. But like hearing all of this and seeing it everywhere kind of suggests that this is, you know, there's really something to this that, like, you know, maybe not like a clue that we can figure out, but maybe, but, you know, probably as we're reading the book or at the end of the book, we're going to like look at it and say, yeah, okay, that was, like, right there in front of our face. And
yeah.
So, of course, our job is to try to make our best guess beforehand.
You know what I kind of wonder? And, I mean, I've looked at all the ruins, and a lot of ruins are similar, because Hermione's thing has been ancient ruins, ancient ruins.
Right.
She studies them, but we haven't really it's got to have been mentioned for a reason. And there are a lot of ruins that look – that have similar characteristics to the, you know, they have the triangle, they have the circle, they have the bisected circle. But not all things put together. So I kind of wonder if there might be a moment where we see why Hermione's been studying ancient ruins all this time and what's important about it. And I wonder if there's going to be a spell, some knowledge to be gained, some, or like if that picture really is of the same thing that's on the cover, if there is something that is there that makes something more powerful or that represents something, or maybe it's just some dark magic detector, who knows? But
well,
it
that
is
would be
fascinating.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, like there'd be like I see two possible outcomes where you got, you know, your awesome one. And, which is, you know, like they find these ruins and they can activate them, and like Harry can like hold on to them, and like they can power him up and like turn into like, you know, strength and extra strength spells and all this crazy stuff.
Like Jackie Chan adventures.
Which will not happen. Yeah. You know, or, you know, it could be some kind of like Indiana Jones-esque almost thing where they have to like, when they're finding these Horcruxes, they have to maybe, you know,
yeah, like
have trials
gonna,
and interpret these things. And,
right. Going to turn into like an Indiana Jones adventure.
It's totally going to be an Indiana Jones book.
Yeah. It better.
I mean, I think it's going to resemble that a lot.
Well, but don't you want it to have lots of love and romance? Because I'd rather that.
Oh, there'll be plenty of that. There'll be plenty of that. But love and romance isn't what's going to find the Horcruxes.
Hey, you don't know. It's the power of love. Come on. Haven't we gone through this before? It's the power
of love. Power of love will defeat Voldemort, but I don't know if it's going to help him find any Horcruxes.
Just ask Huey Lewis.
Actually, come to think of it, if Harry is stuck on how to destroy one of the Horcruxes, he could always try making out with it.
God.
Because that
especially
might...
if it's Nagini.
Well, no. There you are.
I do
I don't
not
know how
want
much
to
Nagini
visualize
would.
That.
I don't know if she appreciates that very much.
Yeah. I think that's... We're on to it now. I think that's what that symbol actually represents.
Yeah. Oh, poor Nagini.
Okay. Yeah, poor Nagini, poor Harry.
Oh, Harry's into that crazy stuff.
Yeah, yeah, he's into
he's
all about
anyway.
Sacrifice and being
yeah.
noble.
Yes, he's selfless.
Okay, boys, let's get off of the giant snake as our topic of... discussion.
That's what we told Harry. All right, so...
Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway.
This symbol.
I think,
okay.
I think we might have took care of the symbol. Or did we?
Well, you know, I think that one thing that we all know is that the symbol's there for a reason, and there is
yeah.
a lot of deep, deep meaning in the symbol, and we may just have to wait mm-hmm. to get the book to figure out exactly
oh,
what it is, because there's lots of possibilities.
Yeah.
I think what, I guess one, and again, you know, we have no way of knowing this, but, you know, one major distinction, say we accept that the symbol means something and it's important, which I think we all are kind of figuring is the case. It could be like what we were talking about a couple minutes ago, what John was saying, like, you know, it could be like a physical thing that, like, a you know, is written, like, on something, or it's a rune, or whatever, you know, something that Harry has to find, or is a clue. Or it could be something that's like more symbolic in nature, just sort of represents what's going on in this last book. You know, maybe it's not something that Harry will actually encounter and say, oh, here's a rune with a triangle and a circle and a line through it. But, you
yeah.
know, it might be sort of, you know, pointing to, I don't know, like some of the things that were mentioned earlier, like the triangle representing a trinity sort of thing, a divided circle. I mean, that seems like... You know, I don't know about, you know, from, like, traditional symbols, but just, like, you know, if I see, like, a divided circle, to me that means, like, a hole that's, like, been split in half.
Yeah.
And that, you know, doesn't have a lot to do with, like, and I think you talked about this a little bit before we started recording, Doris, like, you know, there's Harry and there's Voldemort there, you know, because of, like, choices and especially things that Voldemort's done, you know, they're kind of, like, forever linked. They're, like, almost two halves of a whole. They have these... you know, intimate connections through the scar and through other things. But, you know, I keep thinking back to what Dumbledore said when he was looking at that little smoky snake or whatever,
yeah.
something about in essence divided or
mm-hmm.
whatever. So I don't know. I'm kind of leaning more towards something like that, but it would be cool if it, like, you know, that actual symbol meant something to the characters in the book and they encountered it in some way.
Well,
I just don't know what.
You know, when I look at the Half-Blood Prince cover, there was a symbol on that spine, too, and it was the ring.
Mm.
It was important to the plot, but it wasn't the pivotal
right.
thing in the
right.
plot. You know, it was... It
That's
was,
a good point.
Yeah.
What if this rune, this symbol, is on a very magical, powerful object that is being locked up in what we have called the Love Room? The Ministry of Magic, Department of Mysteries.
It's like the... It's just something that's marked on something else?
Something like that, you know, they'll all get into the room and they'll find this thing and it'll have
uh-huh.
this symbol on it and they'll have to try to interpret it to
figure right.
out how, if they can use it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's my conundrum conclusion. We can see who agrees with me on the poll.
Oh, this we have
I don't
to
know.
Final
I think
thoughts.
I'm going to get my butt kicked on the poll this week. But
can I just say that whole thing I blathered about 2 minutes ago was my final thought?
Yeah, Kimmy will love you for that.
I know she will.
Yeah, let's see.
I love
Kimmy
you too, Kimmy.
It all written it. I think that it's a a symbol, maybe a ruin. So I'll just go with like a ruin or some kind of alchemy symbol that Harry's not going to use the ruin as much, but maybe the knowledge that goes with it to solve his conundrum.
Hmm. Interesting.
You mean like, which will be basically,
how do I get rid of this guy without losing myself? Yeah.
When everything seems lost.
Mm-hmm. What his conundrum was, how to hook up with Ginny.
No, he already got that.
Yeah, I think he's figured
that
out.
Yeah, but he already screwed that up, though. So
yeah, exactly.
And then
he blew her off. So
Ginny's not just going to, you know,
well,
come
he's a
back,
boy.
You know,
boys are
willy nilly.
Yeah, boys are kind of stupid when it comes to stuff like that. But girls, you know, she'll forgive him. They'll get back together. They'll get married. They'll have like 25 little babies. And
you know those Weasleys, they can't hold out too long. Anyway, next week's conundrum, we will bring the cast and crew of our regular conundruming back and talk about, finally, hopefully, a little more about the U.S. book cover, in which I shall make a very big reveal that I have figured out something very important.
Oh. Can I just say something? Because the reading group staff figured out what it is.
Uh-oh.
They're playing Ultimate Frisbee.
Oh. Is that what it is?
That's it.
That would be awesome.
That's the key to the whole thing, and Harry's about to win.
Yeah,
so.
Harry's going to win Frisbee, and that's it, right?
Yeah, that's
and that's
it.
How they chose the battle. That's pretty cool.
But you guys could still do the conundrum, because
I
won't be around.
Yeah, we'll do it anyhow. I'm going to send you my proof, just as we're doing this, and let you see if you can figure out exactly what I'm trying to say. Because there is a clue that Mary Grand Prix gives us from her prior illustrations in a particular book, chapter art, that I would suggest would go on to explain what these shadowy things are in the background.
Oh, see, I already knew this.
On the cover. Do we already know, exactly what / who these people are?
I think I know who they are.
Yeah,
here's proof.
John has an interesting idea here.
Here is proof. Because she only knows one way how to draw these things, so. We've seen them once, we've seen them again.
Yeah, we have.
Tune in to hear about that and more of our thoughts about the covers, because we just never get tired of talking about this, and you all keep writing in about how much you like hearing about it, so.
More
we shall give you. Probably after next week we'll be done with it for a little while, but who knows what we'll have by then.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have names of chapters. I want those.
Exactly. Any bits of the book that they give us, we're just going to talk about as much as we can.
Except that is not an encouragement for all of you crazies who run out there and, you know, wrap the book trucks to send us spoilers, because
we
are
not
interested.
Kind of,
we want
the stuff that they want us to know.
Yeah. When Joe tells us, then we find it out that way, but we don't want to know it any other way.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Anywho, thanks a lot. Lady Dean and Big the Guru Sloth.
You got it.
Thank you, John.
I'm going to drag the girls back in here and finish the show.
All right.
Later.
What do you think, though, if there was a little common room? You know, maybe they have it. You think it's like miniature chairs and like little miniature...
There's definitely a little couch in their own little fireplace.
That'd be cool.
They have, you know, their own, you know... I think that would be awesome. And, like, they have Christmas and everything, and they give each other sweaters.
No, they don't know clothes. Do you think they have, like, little pegs, so they hang up their little robes at night and stuff, you know, like in the Wizard of Oz? Or they're
running around naked?
No, I'm just saying!
So, there's
guys,
bunch of crazy naked elf parties?
Huh?
Hey, guys, the show's over. It's been an hour.
What?
The show's over.
No. What?
You've been talking about this for an hour.
I don't know. I'm just really scared to picture one of the students walking into the elf common room at night where they take all their robes off.
Guys,
they're just walking around.
Guys, the show's over. We're in the wrap-up now. Don't you hear the drums?
Oh.
I guess those are drums.
Well, okay.
Do you hear the drums? Hello?
The fan art challenge of the week is to draw the elf common room.
Yeah. I'm sure it's just...
These are like the drums coming to march you out of town or to the insane asylum, whichever one's first.
It'd be like a hobbit-sized house. I bet, like, the student could fit in it, you know? Couldn't fit in the door.
I like the Alice in Wonderland, where like Alice is huge and like the elves are
guys,
really small.
The show, you realize you've been talking about this the whole show now.
Well, you clowns didn't even show up to the Canon Conundrum, so you were off doing something.
we're busy people.
Sue is researching where house elves sleep.
I guess.
Okay. Anyway.
Melissa was giving her morning tranquilizer to Dolly.
Leave
so she
Mushka
doesn't attack anybody.
Alone.
What? She
Leave
needs to be sedated
alone.
Or she claws eyes out.
She is my baby Mushka.
Yeah.
She almost killed, by the way, Paul. From Harry Potter's. Yeah. He and they were here briefly and she almost killed him. Like, so, you know, she doesn't
Mushka's
like Mushka
can sense out the threats.
Well, anybody who comes into her space, she flips out. You know what I mean? Because this is our little world and she doesn't like when people...
Well, whose space do you think you have, Mushka? You pay rent? I don't think so.
She does. She pays rent in Snuggles.
She's protective of Melissa.
She pays rent in Snuggles. She also almost ate Alex from the room
what?
Of Secrets. I mean, like, people
no.
are coming... Well, all the wizard rockers come into this apartment and they almost die.
What is it with your bedroom and, like, open house for wizard rockers?
People come to New York and they need a place to stay, dude. Don't
yeah,
get
New
like
York
that.
That's so bad. You're such a bad man. Bad man, Sean. No,
he... You're terrible.
Oh, pandas.
Pandas. Okay. Moochkas.
Are we bringing
Moochka anyway,
on tour?
Anyway, fun show.
Are we bringing her
no,
on tour?
No, I'm not bringing her on tour. I'm not bringing her on tour. I'm sorry. She's going to be staying with my parents, who she loves. She loves death, mostly because they feed her.
Yeah.
But no. Couple of quick announcements.
Does she like your dad?
What?
Does she mind your dad?
She loves my dad.
Oh, that's just messed up.
I know. She's a one-man cat. She loves my dad. My dad could call her from across the house. She will come running.
Wow.
It's amazing. I don't understand it. She's the best. Anyway, a couple quick announcements. Vote for us on Podcast Alley. Vote for us on Dig.com. We're sort of obligated to say that. We're very happy if you do, but it's like so whatever.
Yes.
At this point, we're just more excited to see you this summer.
I know.
Check out our dates. Come out. We can't wait to meet you. So many of you.
I'm nervous to meet them.
You did fine in London.
I'm nervous. What if they don't like me?
John, they'll like you. They'll really like you.
Really
but
like
no, they probably won't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the three of us ripping across the country in a rented car.
In the Pottermobile, Pottercastmobile. I love
like
it.
Like a minivan.
Hilarious.
In New Jersey, we told you on the MySpace to wear Bruce and Bon Jovi t-shirts and do your hair big. We gotta like have
what?
A theme. For every,
ooh,
we're
going
to give you
cool.
special instructions on our MySpaces of what
yeah.
to do for each show. In Kentucky, where John thinks all the fried chicken came from.
No.
Really? I'm not a big fan of fried chicken.
No.
I like fried burritos.
Oh, you know what? This weekend, Kentucky's a beautiful state, and it's also the Kentucky Derby this weekend. Or was.
Fun.
Was
I can't. I just.
What would happen if you put the burrito in the deep fryer?
What? We are not bringing a deep fryer.
What
would
happen?
No.
I'm making a no burrito in the car rule right now.
Nonsense. Where are you going to eat them?
You
don't think you're going to stop
wherever we're
going to
be, but
me?
You're not
think.
Bringing that messy, grossy, smelly thing in the car because we're going to get it dirty and we're going to have to get the car cleaned.
This just reminded me of something. This is like a year anniversary, just a little after, from when I did my crazy DDR movie.
Oh, that's right. It is. Oh, that's right. Wow.
And so I think it only appropriate in the year anniversary and being that we're going to be on tour traveling with the opportunity to sample so many Chipotle restaurants.
I'm
going to
be so ill.
For me to extend that challenge again a little higher now because, you know,
yeah.
we're a little bigger show at this point. What was the last time? 10 cards?
Yeah.
I think if we get 20 Chipotle cards of any value, I shall, for the entire Pottercast viewing audience, in video format...
Dramatic pause.
In my Slytherin robe...
You wear your Slytherin robe in the summer. Go ahead. Have fun.
We'll do anything PG rated of the majority card giver's choice.
John, you're struggling here. What are you trying to say?
Are you going
to
do the air guitar thing, that guitar game you were talking about? We should do that.
Guitar Hero?
Mm.
Yeah.
The guitar... Oh, I could do Guitar Hero with Southern Robes if that's what that person chooses. But no, the person who gives the most cards of the 20 gets to choose what I do as long as it's PG rated.
Oh, boy.
I can be very creative. And
now,
then,
but
and
let me explain. Come the second week of June,
services.
We're going to be traveling. I will not have a chance to check the P.O. box for these
that's right.
cards.
Oh, it has to happen quick.
So it has to happen quick.
That's happened within this month.
Whoa, pressure's on.
No.
For the pressure is on.
Speaking of the P.O. Box, we've been very lax in making updates because I stink, but this is a year old almost, this update, but when we were in Lumos, I will look up your name and put it on the podcast blog. Somebody sent us this amazing box of, like, a survival guide.
Yeah.
For, I can't believe we never talked about this yet, a survival guide for our leaky mugs. So, like, there was, like, fans to keep away the fans or something, and Purell to wipe your hands after eating burritos, and Advil
and
for headaches. And acid pops. It was, and then the box was this beautiful crafted box with all sayings from the show and little things that mean podcast just like burned into the box. It was so, I'm going to take pictures and put it on podcast.com. I'm very sorry that I haven't already. Just thank you. That was amazing.
Well, we need to start showing more appreciation for these steel boxes. So I think starting definitely with the new Chipotle contest, everybody who does send in a card will have their name, photo, and brief bio appear on the podcast blog.
Oh, that's nice.
To be part of the...
I love how John's just assigning me work without even,
I know.
I'll do it. It's my challenge.
Well, how are you going to do it?
I know how to post a blog.
I know, but now I have to send
you... I'm not totally worthless.
You know?
Yeah. If you're sending me a card, you send, you know, an email with your name and your picture.
Okay, do that.
Okay.
To John at theleaky-cauldron.org. The-leaky-cauldron.org. The-leaky-cauldron.org.
I just hope I don't have to do anything too crazy in a Slytherin costume.
It's going to be so hot out there. Oh my gosh, guys. It's like...
I know.
This shit's hot. We're going to be...
I was just thinking. Hmm? You know, out west, the fun thing? We need to go to, like, Tombstone, Arizona. Go to a ghost town.
Really?
Yes. And
we're going to have some time in Arizona, too.
I know. It would be fabulous. Y'all ever been to one of those ghost towns? They're really cool. Should do that. That'll be fun. Have a little shootout at the Pottercast Corral. It'd be awesome.
The Pottercast Corral?
We got to find some gin joints.
Yeah. I will. I'll find them. That's for sure.
Well, June 17th, we're going to be in Santa Fe, seeing Santa Fe, but I don't... If my memory serves, I don't think we have a show that day. So send your ideas of what we should be doing to torapodcast.com. And maybe, who knows, maybe we'll find a fun place to do a little fan hangout, and we'll just let you know about it, whoever comes.
That'd be cool.
I think we should open up a restaurant in Santa Fe.
Okay.
Let me tell you what restaurant we're going to be at what time. Whoever shows up, we'll have a big dinner.
How did that fall over your head, Melissa, of all people?
How did what fall over my head?
Open up
the rent?
I'm the only one sitting, sorry.
Dude, no. This did not go over my head. If you go to our MySpace and you click on the Santa Fe thing, it says that we're going to sing Rent the whole time. How would that go over my head? Come on.
Now,
I'm just
the one that sings, though, all the time. I spontaneously freaking song. She got it.
Come on. Like, I would miss the Rent reference. Come on. Oh, my gosh. I can't wait. I just can't wait. It's going to be... And we have some more announcements about what we're doing and when and blah, 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 blah. Coming, and if this all goes well, who knows, maybe we're sort of not really doing East Coast, so maybe if everything goes well, we can try and fit some East Coast stuff in August after the book comes out, so that we can talk about it.
Wow.
Except for the part where I'll be in class not failing the quarter.
Yeah, John will be in class not failing the quarter, but I'm saying weekends.
Yeah, well, sure. No problem.
You know? Everybody, you know, it'll be fun. Oh, we're going to have such a great summer. I'm really like, this is when we had that idea, this came, the last night that I was on tour with the guys, we were saying how sad we were that it was over and that it's a shame that I couldn't just come hang out the whole summer. And I think
and then
it was...
Paul goes,
just go! You're wasting time!
Go, you're wasting time. No, I think it was Paul who was like, who said, well, we should do stuff at libraries together. And I was like, are you serious? And the next day I went, were you serious about doing stuff with Pottercast? He was like, yes,
that's
I'm serious. Let's do it. So we figured it out, and it's just, oh my gosh, the fun we're going to have. I can't even tell you.
Are we going to dance?
You are going to dance.
I think we're going to dance.
John, I'll teach you my rock lobster moves, like the B-52s. It doesn't count much skill. You just kind of flail about. It's fun. It works with their music, too.
That would be a perfect Chipotle challenge.
Oh, no.
Is teach John to dance, and he'll record himself doing whatever dance you describe.
Someone's gonna send you in like the tango, dude. You're gonna be hosed. No way.
Well, the tango, you need someone to do it with. So I don't know if that'll work.
True.
But all they have to do is YouTube themselves doing the dance, and then I'll copy the dance and do myself in the Southern robe.
Oh, I get to see you like John Travolta out there, you know, like Stay alive, stay alive.
No, that's assuming that I'm going to be good at it. I'm not going to be no Travolta.
Speaking of YouTube videos, I loved Bree's reaction to the Emma Watson boob thing. She made a video. Oh,
yeah,
man, is she funny.
For some hilarious commentary, search the YouTube for I Fancy the Trio or Emma Watson Bonnie, right?
Oh,
hilarious.
So funny.
She's very witty.
Awesome. I love satire because you can just have so much fun while making the same points. It's great.
It's pretty darn cute, too, I gotta say.
You think?
No, John, do not make this the outlet for that.
I don't have any outlets.
No outlets. You're not dating her or anything.
Not at all. No. Hi, baby.
This is going to be gross, guys. Guys, Podcast Land, I need your help. I need methods of revenge for the PDA when John and Bree get all PDA in the car.
What are you calling me out for?
I'm calling you right out, right now.
What's wrong with the little PDA?
I told you I'm going to have the Smoochie Smoochie song on ready, and when you do it, I'm going to hit play. Guys, send your suggestions, please. Tor at PotterCast.com. Suggestions for how to keep the PDA at bay, because Melissa's going to vomit.
We're asking a lot of them this week, huh? This is the longest wrap-up ever. Are we making up for last week's wrap-up?
Well, last week, I think we are making up for last week. So we just have so much to talk about. It's so exciting to finally tell you that we're going to meet like 10,000 of you over the summer.
More like 110,000.
No, but seriously, over 3 months, we're doing 23 shows, guys. Can you believe that?
That's a whole lot of shows in different area codes.
23 shows. That's crazy.
That's crazy. Podcast miles, too.
I can't believe we're doing it. And thank you, Borders, for for having us go to all their stores all over the land. Borders
this tour is brought to you by Borders.
Almost. Almost completely. So, yeah. Yeah, Borders, they've been so awesome, and they're so excited. So we'll have plenty of updates coming around that.
Can I get a woot?
Woot!
Woot!
Nice.
Well, you'll be hearing about this too much anyway, so I think it's time that we leave.
Hooray!
I gotta pack.
Wait, I don't hooray at the end, do I? I go, aww. It's the end.
Aww, it's the end.
And I think for as far as the podcast episodes with double numbers, this is probably one of the best episodes we've ever done with double numbers. I think I can say that pretty definitively.
You didn't like 77 or 44?
Or 66.
44 is one of our favorites, actually.
They were okay shows. 44. Equally.
44 was the Internet is for Podcast. That's like the number one. Everybody, it's like a famous Podcast now. I think, wasn't Cheryl on that show?
Podcast. That was funny.
Speaking of hot Cheryl, who doesn't love me anymore because I've wrote her 2 emails and she has not responded to me.
Oh, wow, John. The honeymoon.
I don't know where I fell out of favor with her.
Uh-oh.
I hope I don't have to blame Bree for this. I blame her for everything.
Cheryl's got her own Weasley.
She does.
Does.
Me and Cheryl are no longer romantically linked.
Yeah, but she caught a good one.
She did.
All right, guys.
Oh, well.
I'll see you in Santa Fe.
We will see you in Santa Fe.
That's
isn't
right.
That
I'm so excited.
See you again.
Wait. One last thing. We silk the Rent Santa Fe song.
Oh.
Silk that.
Oh, fun plan.
For our tour. Do it. I want to play it. I want to play it all the time. I want to play it in the car.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even do some lyrics and I'll sing it. What the hell?
Awesome.
I will too. I'll do it.
Hey, Rent fans, July 30th to September 9th, the original Mark and Roger are going to be back in Broadway. Just FYI. It's going to be amazing.
What?
Ooh,
I know, totally off topic. I don't care.
Awesome.
Anthony Snaps.
I didn't get to see him when the original cat. Oh, man.
Adam Rascals.
I know. It was going to be. He told me that you could have knocked me down with a feather when I found out. You could have just.
I'm coming
killed
to see that.
I'm
going to see
get my butt up there. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
Hey,
when are the dates again, Melissa?
July 30th through September 9th.
At my birthday, September 7th.
Ooh.
Hint, hint.
Oh, there you go. Doing.
Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Later, skaters.
We've missed it.
Dobby is free.
I confess myself disappointed.
Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to bed.
Great, Scott. No wonder. Look at the time. We've been here nearly 4 hours. Spooky how the time flies when one's having fun.